All right, here we go. So good morning. Hey, if we haven't met, my name's Doug. I'm one of the pastors here. I am really glad that you all are here today. And to start out the message, I want to offer kind of a simple observation. And the observation is this. We live in an increasingly mechanical world. Most of our daily life is shaped by machines and switches and devices, things that are helpful but not alive. Like, just even think about kind of your average morning. Before you get to, like, even coffee, you have already practiced push button, get outcome, like, a dozen times, right? I mean, just think about it. Like, probably a device wakes you up. You know, some of you hit snooze multiple times, no shame. Do we have any snoozers in the room here? Yeah, do we have anybody who has a spouse that hits snooze and you wish they would stop? Okay, yep, you're not alone. That doesn't happen in our house, but, you know. But think about how this works with devices. Like, a device will wake you up, you get up and you flip a switch, and lights come on, it's wonderful. You can go over and adjust the thermostats, you go turn on the faucet. Thank God you get to flush a toilet, right? Thank God for indoor plumbing. So I love modern conveniences, like, I'm so grateful for them. But I want us to notice this is the world that has formed us. And that matters because without realizing it, we can bring those kind of automated factory type mindsets into our faith. We can start expecting our souls to also work like machines. But your soul is not a machine. Your soul is not a machine. And that's why in week two here of our Disciple Shift series, we're gonna focus on that, and actually we're spending the start here of 2026 talking about shifting from the ways of our world to the way of Jesus, to the way of the kingdom of God. Because whether we realize it or not, we are all being formed all the time. Like, none of us actually kind of drifts along in neutral, because whether we choose it or not, the world around us just sort of disciples us. And a lot of that discipleship, it's not intentional. A lot of times it just kind of seeps in. It's the air we breathe. It's the water we swim in. It just kind of happens in the background. And most of the time, if we don't stop to pay attention, we don't notice. So this week, we're naming one concrete shift where Jesus invites us out of one kind of formation and into another. And this week's shift is from factories to fields. Shift is from factories to fields. Now, let me explain. So our world runs on production, on outcomes, efficiency, speed, measurable results, the constant pressure to perform, optimize, fix, and improve. And there are good things about that in the material world. But when we import that understanding into our spiritual life, we can start treating our faith like a factory and our soul like a machine. But then we look to Jesus, and all through the New Testament, we are given a whole different mindset. Jesus has a different mindset. He uses a totally different set of images. He doesn't use factory language. He uses field language, not manufacturing language, but cultivating. He doesn't look at pressure. Instead, he's about the abiding, trusting, and receiving. He's not about instant outcomes, but he is about the slow work of God in living people like you and me. And John 15 is one of these vivid pictures that Jesus gives us for this shift that can invite us to move from treating our faith like a machine or a factory to living it like a field. So, if you have a Bible, open to chapter 15 of John. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. They will also be up on the screen. Heidi, could you do me a favor and grab me the water under the next? Thank you. Mm-hmm. Here's a fun fact. Right before, during that last song, I had a tooth just break back here. So I'm like, I think I'm good, but I'm going to drink some water. Sorry. Any dentists in the house? Oh, we got a dental hygienist back there. Yeah. So, all right, here we go. ADD moment. Verse 1, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so they will be even more fruitful. So you are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Now let's just look at verse 5 here. Look, just notice what Jesus is doing through this. And actually, you can keep reading later because he keeps talking about this and fleshes it out a little more. But notice what he's doing here in verse 5. He starts out, he doesn't say, hey, I'm the machine. He doesn't say, I'm the machine, you're the parts. He says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. And notice, that's not automated language. It's not factory language. That is living language. That is organic language, meaning, the Christian life is not about you powering yourself up. It's about staying connected to the source of life. Now, keep reading here. Notice here that Jesus uses the word remain. In fact, all through this passage, several times he uses the word remain. Other translations, I like the word abide. Abide, which means to stay, to live there, to make your home. Jesus is saying, make your home in me. And so right there, he's describing relationship, presence, connection. Jesus here, he's basically saying, the Christian life is not about you working hard for God. It's about you staying connected to the life of God. And then if we keep reading here, third, the next connection here. So the result of that connection is what? You'll bear much fruit, right? Not pressure, not performance, not a product. Fruit. And listen, fruit is something that grows when it is alive. Fruit is what grows when something is alive and connected and receiving what it needs over time. And then Jesus wraps up with this phrase here. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, he's not shaming us there. He's actually just telling us the truth about reality. Listen, branches don't produce grapes by trying harder. Branches bear fruit because they stay connected to the vine. The life flows through that connection. And here's the thought that I'd love for us to hold on to today. That Jesus is not giving us a self-improvement plan. He's describing a living connection with him, which means that discipleship is not a factory. It is a field. It's not a factory, it's a field. It's about growing, abiding. It's about the slow work of God in real people. Now, I know that that's probably, if you're like me, it's where this gets really challenging for us because Jesus is describing, you know, growth through abiding. We just want a plan that we can control, right? Like, we love, that's such a great image of a field, but we don't really love how slow a field is, right? Yeah, but listen, Jesus is not running an assembly line. He is cultivating a vineyard. And before we go any further, I just want to name something that I think a lot of us sincere followers of Jesus experience, but we don't always say out loud. I think in our spiritual journey, many of us hit, I'll call it a gap. We hit a gap between the life we expected this was going to look like and the life that we're actually experiencing right now. Like, we read in Scripture Jesus' words about peace, but we notice that we're full of anxiety. We read about this joy that's available, but we feel really heavy. Like, I read about love, and then I notice how reactive I can still be, and we start to wonder, what's wrong with me? Am I failing? Is this not working? And I just want to say, if you've ever felt that gap, like me, if you've ever felt that gap, you're not weird. You're not disqualified. That is just the normal part of the journey of spiritual formation. And I wonder, for those of you even wrestling through that right now, what if the problem is not that you're not working hard enough? Maybe that's not the problem, that you're not working hard enough. What if the problem is that you're trying to live this relational faith, this living, organic, relational faith with a mechanical paradigm. It's supposed to be living, it's supposed to be vibrant and alive, but you're living it with a factory approach, a mechanical mindset. So let me try to give us a picture, the metaphor Jesus is giving us. I brought this little wonderful cherry tomato plant today. There it is. Isn't that nice? Look at that. Beautiful, right? And yes, there are little tomatoes on there, and they are just very, very green, which is kind of the point. But when Jesus talks about discipleship and spiritual growth, he doesn't talk like a factory. He talks like a gardener, like a farmer, like a vineyard owner. And fruit doesn't ripen or appear because you grit your teeth hard enough. Fruit grows because something is alive, connected, rooted, nourished, and it happens slowly over time. So think of like the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, right? That fruit is not a product that you can go, okay, I'm going to manufacture that. No, it's a byproduct of a life connected to Jesus. So stay connected, and in time, the fruit will happen. See, this is the picture that I think Jesus is giving us. It's slow growth, seasons, nurture, life. And if your faith journey just feels slow or messy or unfinished, listen, it doesn't mean automatically that something is broken. It's just like this little plant that's not fully ripened yet. Here's what I would encourage you. Don't just look at what's missing. Instead, notice what is alive. Like, look for what is growing. Like, do that first. What if we do that first instead of, like, diagnose all the bad things? Okay, what if we start with noticing what is there, what is alive? Do that first. Because sometimes God is tending. Sometimes it's a season where God is pruning. Everybody here might know what I mean. You ever been through a season where it seems like God might be fertilizing? Yeah? Yeah. That was a real sentence in a sermon. You're welcome. And here's the thing. I think when it comes to growth, most of us want this. We want love to grow. We want peace to grow. We want patience to grow. We want to look more like Jesus over time, but we try to live this slow, organic, living faith in a world that's trained us to expect instant outcomes. So now I want to show you the contrast. Got one more visual. Some of you have been wondering what's under this little sheet here. Are you ready? Be gentle here so I don't knock it all over. Voila, there it is. Isn't that a work of art? Thank you, Cody Hickman, for this work of art that he put together with just a little inspiration. This is a collection of machines, mostly from around the church or my house, but let me say this about all the machines here. Like, these tools, they're helpful. I'm grateful for them. It's wonderful that if I pull the switch or start the motor or plug them in, they work. That's what machines do. They respond to power and pressure and control, but what it trains us without realizing it is for us to expect instant outcomes. Like, they work, but are they alive? No. The answer is no. The answer is no, right? And just like we talked about earlier, we can take this kind of machine mindset into our faith. So I want to name the contrast as clearly as I can, because the shift I'm asking us to make in this disciple shift this week in the series, it's not a subtle one. And by the way, as I unpack this a little bit, like, nobody's in trouble. Like, I'm not mad. God's not mad. This is simply an invitation. So especially if you feel some resistance, just ask the Holy Spirit if there's anything here for you. And if yes, great, cool. And if not, that's okay. Just keep walking with Jesus. So, and by the way, for the record, this framework and some of the ideas in this sermon were inspired by one of my pastor friends, Dave Bricky. We've had some great conversations about this in a backyard and at a pastor retreat. And a couple of years ago, he unpacked this really, really well. Eugene Peterson also, a guy named Scott McKnight, one of my mentors, Mike Perkinson. So these are ideas that have been stirring for a long, long time. These are not just Doug ideas. There's a lot of people thinking about things like this. So all right, now let's look here. Let's look at the factory mindset. Let's look at the machine mindset. We're going to do a comparison here. A factory mindset, what does it naturally produce? Well, first thing to look at is control. Control. And, you know, when I flip a switch in my house, what do I want? Yeah, we want the lights to go on. I don't want my neighbor's garage door to go open. I want my light to go on. Control, yeah. Next thing, maintenance. Maintenance. Machines require maintenance. When something breaks, though, I don't know if you're like me, but I assume that it's on me to fix it. And so the thing is, we can start living life with this constant internal question of, okay, what's broken? What do I need to fix? What's broken? What do I need to fix? That's a machine mindset, okay? And that leads to the third thing, pressure. It leads to pressure because since it's on me to fix it, then I'm in a hurry and I needed it fixed yesterday. So it leads to pressure. Next thing, results. Machines are about output. You want the outcome. And you don't want to have to go through all the steps. You don't want to go through the process. You just want to flip the switch and have it work. You don't even need to know how it works. We just want it to work. And by the way, I'm grateful for that. Like, that's why we don't have to make candles every time it gets dark. Instead, we get to flip a switch, right? So I'm glad for this. I'm glad for this in parts of our life, right? But in a factory-driven world, going through process, taking time, can actually feel like the enemy because we see that and we're like, no, let's try to simplify it, optimize it, speed it up, because results are what matter. So add this one, speed. Speed. Faster is better. More is better. Efficiency is wisdom. Hurry is normal. And just the last one, we could go on and on, but here's the last one for today. I think this one's important. These tools work, but they are not alive. Notice I didn't say they're dead. Dead implies that it used to be alive. It's just non-living. And all of this is fine in the material world. I love that these things work. I'm grateful for them. But here's where it starts to matter to our soul, to our spiritual life. Because if we build our faith with a factory mindset, we can end up treating our soul like a machine. Control it, fix it, pressure it, measure it, hurry it. And without realizing it, we start to carry a weight that Jesus never asked us to carry. And I have to say, listen, pastors wrestle with this too. I wrestle with it. And not just with our own spiritual walk or journey, like we wrestle with applying this concept and this sort of pattern to church. Like, it gets really easy to treat church like a machine, to turn church into a product, to chase outcomes, to manage appearances, to try and control or pressure or measure in unhealthy ways, to compare to other churches or organizations, for us to hurry what actually cannot be hurried. And so I work really hard to resist that, not because I'm anti-strategy or anti-organization. I'm not. I resist that because Jesus did not call us to manufacture a product. He called us to cultivate a field, to nurture a people, a family. That's what he called us to. And I know that some of you are here, and whether or not you could even put those words to it, and name it. For some of you, that's why you're here. You're not here because, well, they don't do church marketing. No, you're here because something in you notices that we're trying to, not doing it perfectly, but trying to function like a healthy family instead of a business. Like, some of your souls can sense it. Even if you go, wow, they don't do some of the things that normal churches are supposed to do, I guess. But you still notice that there is something about the family, about trying to do family instead of a business. And that's just part of our heart, that's part of my heart. Now, I want to contrast that factory mindset we were looking at with the field, with the garden, with a vineyard. So here we go. We'll go side by side here. Instead of control, the field teaches us surrender. Surrender, because you're dependent on seasons and weather and things beyond you. Like, you can do your part to the things that are up to you, but you hear me, you can't force life. You can't force life. Next, instead of maintenance and fix-it pressure. The field invites cultivation and nurture. Cultivation and nurture. And this is one of the shifts that's been huge for me over the years, because I know in the factory mindset, we think like, all right, we're going to put our strategy together here, and we got to look, the first thing we got to do, what's broken? Like, we got to fix what's broken. Okay, that's a factory mindset. But in this kind of organic field mindset, we ask a different question first. We ask, what's growing? Where's life? My friend Bruce McNichols says, look for the green edges. You know, does that make, yeah. Look for the green, where is God growing something? Where is he at work? Where is life happening? Look for that first. And I'll tell you what, that question is so much more freeing, especially when it comes to our own like inner life of kind of figuring out how to walk with God. That question about where is life and what's growing, that question is more freeing, because then I can stop the constant inner critique where I'm always like, well, am I loving enough? Am I peaceful enough? What's wrong with me? Why am I not there yet? We put that aside, and instead we ask a different question. We look for life. Okay, is there somewhere in me where love is growing, or peace is growing, or patience is growing, even just a little bit? When we do that, it's like looking at the field and cultivating and nurturing the life that is there in your life, in your soul. Look for the life. Next one here. Instead of results focused, the field teaches us process. See, being in process, as we, even though we resist it, being in process is not a problem. It's the pathway. Like, process is how you get there. Relation, it's how you get to healthy places, I need to say. Process is how we get to healthy places, because healthy relationships take time. Roots, growing roots, takes time. Bearing fruit takes time. Having enough humility to wonder what you don't know and make room for it, for me anyway, takes time. So the last couple more here. Instead of speed, the correlation here, the field is very slow. It's very slow. I hate that part. The field teaches us patience. Where we need to remember, though, what we need to remember is that slow is not failure. Slow is often the pace of real, healthy, spiritual life. And then that last contrast here is that it's alive. It's alive. It's filled with life. Not perfect life, not perfect. Sometimes there's, you know, some brown leaves down in here. Sometimes it looks a little awkward. It's tilted a little funny. But it's living. Notice it's living, and we know that living things start to grow. So there's your side-by-side comparison. And you might wonder, why are you driving this so deep today? Part of it is that, like, I believe this is not just a metaphor. I believe this informs our formation system. This is our formation system. See, the factory approach here, that mindset teaches us, trains us to care about speed and outcomes and appearances above all else. It teaches us to manage and curate and control. It teaches us to believe that how things look is what matters most. But you've heard me say this. If you've been around, you've heard me say this over and over through the years. When how things look is what matters, then how things really are never gets dealt with. Decay stays hidden. The facade gets polished, but the soul gets neglected. And you know, we live in a curated world. You can manufacture an experience, control the lighting, the music, the timing, the story. You can program it all and make it look amazing. But hear me, the kingdom of God is not curated. It's cultivated. We cannot curate the Holy Spirit. See, curated focuses on what it looks like, but cultivated focuses on what it is, what actually is there. And part of why this matters is that a factory mindset, hear me, a factory mindset can produce a version of Christianity that looks alive but isn't actually alive. Might be polished, managed, look put together, but underneath, the roots aren't being tended. Like, listen, you could hang fake fruit on a dead branch. You could do that. But you can't grow real fruit without a living connection. And Jesus is growing fruit. He's up to growing fruit, not manufacturing a facade. Jesus is after what is real, not just what looks real. And part of why I'm emphasizing this is that some of us I know have lived under pressure-driven faith, like a should-based faith, you know? Should, like, the word should gets used a lot in that kind of pressure, right? You start shoulding on yourself pretty soon. We're walking around knee-deep in a pile of should, and it starts to smell pretty shouldy in here. So thank you, Dallas Demet, for that one. But here's the deal. It's just a signal, like, those things are pressure and shame driven. And again, I want to be careful here because, like, I know people have really good desires underneath this. Like, we want to grow. We want to follow Jesus. We want to become more like him. We want to reflect the true identity that he gives us in Christ. But listen, shoulding on yourself is a subtle kind of violence to the soul. Like, it can produce compliance, but not real fruit. Not for long. It often produces shame, hiding, leads to exhaustion. And so Jesus is not trying to should you into fruit. He's inviting you to abide into fruit. Now, listen, this is not just about your own personal discipleship. This is also about the kind of church that we become together, because the culture of the leadership determines the climate of the church. Pastor Paul Wilson, who was the superintendent of our conference for the covenant here, he used to say this over and over to us. He would say, as the leadership goes, so goes the church. As the leadership goes, so goes your church. So he's pointing out that if leaders operate with pressure and image management, then the church will learn to hide. if leaders operate like it's normal to just have gossip and politics and triangulation and manipulation, the rest of the church will think, well, that's normal, right? But when leaders lead with humility and health and honesty and learn direct communication, creates a different kind of environment. When leaders lead like we're a grace-based family, that we are safe and sound, that becomes the air that we breathe together. And at Hope, we are trying to cultivate that kind of environment. And there's so many of us that have a heart for this. And listen, we don't do it perfectly. We got a long ways to go. I got a long ways to go. It's slow. It's clumsy. It takes a long time to yield fruit. But hear me. Part of why we're doing that is because we know that grace is a part of our soil. Identity in Christ is part of our soil. Freedom in Christ is part of our soil. Permission to come out of hiding is part of our soil. Restoration and healing is part of our soil. We just notice it. We see it. And that's another reason, like, that the Front Porch Project matters so much to us. We're not out there like, hey, we want to build something really impressive. No, we are tending the soil of connection and creating space for relationships and more relationships to take root and grow deeper. So in all of it, we pay attention to the soil. And what we want to do is nurture what God is growing. And I'll just say for me, like, I take that really seriously. I think about this all the time. Like, I take very seriously the trust that many of you have placed in me and in us as a church, especially those of you who've been harmed by churches or leaders or pastors before, because we know that systems and cultures form people, whether we mean to or not. So I'm not, like, nitpicking this factory field metaphor here. This is about the kind of people that we are becoming. This is about whether we will produce fruit that lasts or if we're just going to polish a facade. And so this is why this paradigm shift matters so much. So watch what happens now when we take this living thing and we're going to treat it like a machine. Okay, ready? You ready for this? Okay. Here's this sweet little cherry tomato plant. It's been sitting here the whole sermon, two services now. And have you noticed, like, this is ridiculous. Those little green tomatoes are still not red. Like, I would like some for a salad today, so I'm really kind of tired of waiting. So let's take this machine factory mindset from over there and apply it over here. All right, what do we do? Okay, here we go. Ready? Ready for this? All right. Let's go. Come on. Let's go already. Some of you are like, Doug, would you leave the poor plant alone? Yeah. But seriously, do you ever feel like that about your life, right? Like, come on, Doug, bear some fruit already. Ripen those tomatoes. I've been staring at you for like 20 minutes. Do something. You know, that didn't really work. Let's maybe something else to try, kind of hurry along the ripening process. Maybe what we need to do is add fuel. Machines, they need fuel, right? They need fuel. So here we go. Just pour a little bit on there. Here we go. Oh, somebody bought that, didn't you? It's just water. It's just water. Somebody's ready to come knock me off and grab the plant and run. It doesn't work, right? You get the point. You get the point. Living things do not respond to pressure or fuel the way that machines do. This is where it's a mirror for our own life and soul, because this is what happens when I treat my soul like a machine, like, hey, hurry up, get it together, be peaceful, be more loving, be patient now, right? And we do not realize it, but we can actually poison what God is growing in us. Not with a literal gas can, but poison it with pressure and shame, with constant shoulds, with control. But living things do not grow best under pressure. They grow best in healthy soil, with nurture, over time, staying connected to life. And this is why Jesus said in John 15, remain, abide. Because fruit comes from connection, not coercion. We get to trust, receive, remain, abide, stay connected, watch God be at work. Now, this is really good news here, because the Bible doesn't just say this once here in John 15. It is all over Scripture here. I mean, there were so many places where I was like, which one am I going to pull from? Because this happens all over the place. Let me give you one more place real quick where this picture is shown to us. Flip over to Mark chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 26 to 29. It'll be on the screen. But what we're going to see here is one of Jesus' parables, and he's telling us what life with God is like. Verse 26, he says, Jesus said, this is what the kingdom of God looks like. A man scatters seed on the ground, night and day. Whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. Now, I want to notice a couple things about this. Back to verse 26 and 7. First, Jesus says in verse 26, the farmer scatters seed. He scatters seed. Listen, this is real participation. Participation is real, but the growth, hear me, the growth is God's. The growth is God's. The work is God. We participate, but the growth is up to God. Then Jesus says, the farmer sleeps and rises night and day, the seed sprouts and grows. And then those words right there, though he does not know how. So amazing. That's some good news, because you don't know how, you don't have to know all of how it works in order for it to grow, right? You don't have to know everything Just participate and watch God go to work. Then verse 28 and 29, Jesus says, the earth produces it all by itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. And what I hear Jesus saying here is there's a mystery to growth. There's a timing to growth. Here's a sequence. There's a sequence to growth. First the stalk, then the head, then the full grain. It's a sequence to it. And then, verse 29, when the grain is ripe, the farmer harvests, there is fruit. That's where the fruit happens. There's impact. There's a visible difference. But it comes in season. Comes in season. And as a worship team comes, I want us to remember that this is what Jesus said back in John 15 as well. He said, remain in me, abide in me, stay connected, and you will bear fruit. He actually says it again later and says, you will bear much fruit, much fruit. Not because you've pressured yourself into it, not because you manufactured or curated it, but because you stayed connected to the vine, and the Father is the gardener. So what Jesus is inviting us into, it's not something we force, it's something that ultimately God grows, which means our role is not to manufacture fruit. Our role is to tend the soil, to water what God is growing, and to trust the slow work of God. So here's our invitation for today. It's really just it's a question to wonder about. I invite you to wonder, what is one way God might be inviting you to shift in your walk with Jesus? Maybe an area where you've been treating your soul like a machine, and you need to shift to a organic field approach, shift from a mechanical mindset to a field approach. What's one way he's inviting you to abide, to stay connected, and to depend on Jesus? Just ask God. It's what we do around here. It's kind of a habit. Just ask him. Take this moment now and ask, God, what do you want me to know? Where's an area? Where are you inviting me, God, to shift in my walk? Where are you inviting me? God, what do you want me to know and do? Just listen and see what he prompts, where he nudges. Jesus, we're so grateful for your grace and your goodness. Thanks that you're not, I might sound passionate, but I know you're not mad. I'm not mad. This is an invitation. Holy Spirit, what is it that you might want us to know about where you're at work in our lives, individually and as a church? Would you speak to us? Would you invite us? And if we see places in our life where we have built, this is where it's hard, where we've built on the wrong foundation, especially when our building looks really good, Lord, if we've built on the wrong foundation, would you help us be willing to let that go and to trust you and to trust your way, to trust you to build our lives.